We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey yo, welcome into the CHGO White Sox postgame show presented by PointsBet. Use promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. Welcome into Studio B of our CHGO offices. I'm Sean Anderson, the host of the CHGO White Sox podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. And alongside me is Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him on Twitter at EchnerWall23. He is the CHGO White Sox community leader. Will be joined later by our CHGO White Sox beat writer, Vinny Duber, live from Guaranteed Rate Field. We are joining you after a Chicago White Sox loss. The White Sox lose 4-1, and for the first time since 1989, in a six-game homestand, the White Sox were swept 0-6. They came in four games back of the Guardians, and now they're 10 games back, officially eliminated from winning the Central Division, as the Guardians have now clinched that title and the Sox have failed.
Yeah, it is a very, very fitting end to this AL Central race that the White Sox were in last Tuesday. As you said, four games out with three against the Guardians right in front of you. They had everything they needed right in front of them, and they pissed the bed. This is a very sad ending because after they lost that game versus Tuesday, and I know I have no proof of this, but they gave up. Losing three games in a row to the goddamn Detroit Tigers is embarrassing. You got to have some pride about yourself. You got to have some pride about the jersey you have on with the SOX going down the left breast. Today, the SOX is going against the chest with the 83s on. And some pride about the name that you're putting out there in the on your back. On your back. Because your family's going to be looking at you. And they're like, okay, we ain't going to represent our family right. We're going to go out there and just throw our jocks out there instead of giving good effort versus a team that is eliminated, that is not as good as you, that you've been kicking ass the whole year. That's just bad. That's just a very piss-poor garbage effort from the White Sox. Swept. And Sean looked it up. Looking up all those goddamn seasons, like the worst seasons that you remember, 2007, 2010, the whole rebuild from 2016 on, none of those years had you had a six-game losing streak of a six-game homestand and getting swept in the whole homestand. None. And so, since 1989, that's piss poor. I don't care what you say. You have to go out there and battle every goddamn time you put the jersey on to represent yourself and represent your team, and the White Sox have not done that. And that's why I'm fine with everybody leaving, even though it's not very realistic for everybody leaving. Even the manager, the general manager, some of the players, I know for the most part, they're all going to come back. And that's very, very sad because all throughout this year, they've given up during parts of the game, during parts of the season. And to this weekend, There was no heart, no faith, no anything from these White Sox.
Yeah, Jay Corona saying, Jay Corona 984 saying, today was a funeral. Alex S. saying, what a complete kick in the balls. End to the season. That won't inspire any change in the organization. I'm not sure. I mean, when you have a failure like this, when you're four games back, when you're up, I mean, they were above 500 before this entire series with the Guardians started.
Yep.
And here they are sitting below 500, 75 and 76, and they have given up. I mean, it is extremely clear. And I want to go through those names from 1989,
yep,
8 years before my birth. And I will go through the starters of that roster because the hitters are familiar, right? Ozzie Guillen, Harold Baines, Ron Kittle, Ivan Calderon, right? Steve Lyons, Dan Pasqua is in here, Karkovice is in here, right? Some decent names, yeah. some guys that can get on base. Here are your starting pitchers for the Sox. Eric King, Sean Hillegas.
I have him.
Melito Perez.
Of course I've heard him.
Steve Rosenberg. Nope. Bill Long.
Hey, Steve Rosenberg, didn't he do weekends on the score?
And Eric King, yes. Steve Rosenbloom used to do weekends on the score. I think he still does with our guy Scuds.
Make and bake.
So there you go. Yeah, no, not Steve Rosenbloom, but Steve Rosenberg. So those are the guys. And today the Sox had Dylan Cease out on the mound. They had Dylan Cease again in this series to lead off and open up this homestand against the Guardians. They had Lance Lynn. They had Johnny Cueto. They have no excuse for losing six games to the Guardians and Tigers. Because even when you lose the first five, like you said, there's no play for who's even on the back of my jersey, right? There's no play for myself. And you're going up against Tyler Alexander, who's 25% worse than an average MLB starter, and he's a lefty.
Yep.
The White Sox should be able to hit that hitter. And they just were not interested to take at-bats. And the Tigers, still fighting. The Tigers, still trying. The Tigers, still interested in getting on base and getting hits. And you saw effort from them today. You didn't see that from the Sox.
And that should show you all you need to know, that the Tigers are still interested in this game. They're playing out the games. They haven't had a competitive game since probably June, where they thought, okay, we're still in this, guys. We need to just win this game, that game, or that other one. This is the end of the season for them, too. They have been disappointed for a long time, but you still see effort. You still see the guys fighting, some heart, some toughness. As former Bears linebacker Brian Cox said, Bears need to go to the Wizard. Go and get some heart. Go and get some toughness. Because they don't have any Bears. He said that about the Bears. The White Sox need to go and get some heart, some toughness about themselves, and go and see the Wizard about that, because this is not acceptable at any level. I want Rick Hahn to come out the next homestand, the last homestand of the year, next Monday when they finish off the three-game set versus the Twins, and get pissed and say something about how the White Sox performed in this particular homestand. And he has to wear this. And I know we talk about Tony La Russa and we talk about Miguel Cairo, how well he's done in the time and how well the team has done under his stead. Tony La Russa's not around anymore. This is Miguel Cairo's thing right now. So I know people want him to come back, but the six losses at the home, at the crib, are on him. He should, you know, think twice and throw some chairs. Do something in the clubhouse, because this is an audition for himself for next year, and it's not going well right now when you have these games on the schedule and you just don't even show up. Your team never showed up.
Yeah, they didn't show up this entire home series. And we appreciate guys like John Froelich and all you guys hanging out in the chat, like Melissa, Mr. C, Clark, all these people that are very familiar names. But John saying, you guys are the only reason I even give a rip this year. The only reason I give a rip and even talking about this game right now is because we're getting paid to be here. I mean, most of the time we were drawn towards that Bears game, because that Bears game was exciting. That Bears game had some life. They had some effort. You know, Justin Fields kind of stunk it up. Oh, and you can watch terrible. The CHGO Bears post game if you want to get the full recap on that. But the White Sox, or the Bears, still competed in that game. They still fought through that entire game. And I know that you're looking for Rick Hahn's quotes for either, you know, for the end of the season. This is what Rick Hahn had to say on Saturday. Our guy Jared Willis was out at the park, and you can read this at allchgo.com, because on Saturday, the White Sox announced Tony La Russa will not be returning for the 2022 season, and that Luis Robert was placed on the 10-day IL, but that's likely going to effectively end his season. What Hahn said was, I don't want to do a post-mortem until this body is fully cold, so we'll wait until the end of the season, and we'll talk about all the different emotions and what the plan is going forward to put ourselves in a better spot. He continues by saying, as for the inevitable question about Tony La Russa, well, what does that mean for next season? We're going to finish up this season first and address everything when it's appropriate to turn the page at the end of this year. And I understand you're looking for something for Rick Hahn. You're looking for something from Rick Hahn in, you know, the idea of what the plan is, how he's going to fix this. He's not going to fix this. From watching this, from seeing the seventh highest payroll team who is supposed to win the division lose to the Guardians like this, if he's not fired, you know, you talked about manifestation and thinking about like, oh, I want this to happen. Like if you manifest, oh, I'm broke, you're going to be broke.
Yes.
If you manifest, you know, let's say I'm going to be rich, you know, maybe it'll happen. If I manifest Rick Hahn can keep his job in some way, I think I'm doing myself a failure and fans a failure. Rick Hahn should be fired. Rick Hahn needs to be fired. If Rick Hahn isn't fired, it's a complete joke. From 2012 to 2018, go look at all those MLB GMs who won World Series. All of those guys have been fired. Guys who have recent success, all the way dating back to 2012 when Rick Hahn was basically hired. Mm-hmm. All won World Series, all fired. And some of those because they're cheating, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But Rick Hahn has not found any success. He's tried to rebuild this team twice. And I understand that the rebuild and the window can technically still be open even after 2023. But the fact that you failed like this in 2022, your team 75 and 76, you need to be fired and fired to the moon. Get you as far away from the city, that far, far away from that stadium, as far away from the state, as far away from Major League Baseball. Get them off the planet. Send them to the moon. It's so sad and laughable that this is what we were delivered in 2022. Because yes, maybe we had too high of expectations, but these are too low of expectations. If you told me right now or back on March 3rd, before we started this whole shebang, that on September 25th, the White Sox would be 75 and 76, I would have called you moronic. I would have called you stupid. And I would have said, you are just being a pessimist.
Yep.
Clearly I'm too optimistic.
Mm-mm. No, this is why it's a failure, because of the expectations. And there is not one person that can show me that they said that this team would be this. Not one. Every single team, even positive Guardians, positive Tigers, positive Twins or Royals blogs or podcasts like we have here, would even think that the White Sox would be this. Maybe they thought their individual team would compete or win versus the White Sox, but they would think it'd be toe-to-toe up until the last week, at minimum. Shit's been over since last Tuesday, and today is the official ending, and I want the White Sox to turn on the clubhouse right now. Turn on the Guardians game with the Rangers. Watch the Guardians celebrate the AL Central Championship, because they deserve it. That team battled the whole year, and they played baseball the right way. Make it hurt. Make it feel a little pain so you go in the offseason and say, the team's not better than us. They just play better than us.
Well, and you know what's funny, too? I think it's just funny that the Cleveland didn't have to do anything today. Cleveland could have just sat there, yep, chilled out, because the White Sox are going to lose. That was known, right? The White Sox didn't have any fight to even keep their chances alive. Maybe there's a miracle. Maybe there's something. And I saw someone, I think it was Al, say, you know, if I was Cairo, I'd close the door. Why? Why close the door and scream at these players? He already did that. He told you he did that after they lost to the Royals. And what happens? They have a nice little run, but then they lose to the Guardians, and they're done. They have given up. They've packed up and pushed their chips in. I think AJ Pollock's still playing hard because he's trying to make millions and millions of dollars more for himself. His player option went from $10 million to $13 million because he's playing every single day. Yoan Moncada, he's up there. He had a nice home run off to Alexander, but really outside of that, that's the only highlight for the White Sox this entire game, which is exactly what it was in that 10-7 game where the White Sox have that one home run from Yoan Moncada, but we're like, whatever. I mean, it really doesn't feel like it's that much of a difference maker because it's just too little too late. Like, this is just sad.
It's very sad. I've never wanted a White Sox season to end more quicker. Like, I went through the 2007 season and the 2010 season. I was like, there's nothing going to beat these. These are terrible. I got to watch Andy Gonzalez every day. This is some terrible shit. This is a much worse season. I cannot wait. Like, we'll watch Tuesday's game. We'll have a show tomorrow on our off day. We'll watch Tuesday's game, Wednesday's game, and Thursday afternoon's game. And that Thursday afternoon game and that post game, I'm like, ugh. Man, only like four more games to go. because then we got Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and we're done with this crap team for the season. I can't wait till we get to the postseason for our hour-long shows. So we can talk about some things that are not these games, not this dead-ass team, not these dead-ass players, not that manager, not Rick Hahn, not the owner. I want to talk about things that we, Sean and I and Vinny, think that the White Sox should do in this offseason. We know it's a pipe dream because this organization doesn't do things the correct way, doesn't do things that other organizations would do. But we're going to lay out our plans for what we believe with the resources the White Sox have and the teams in the AL Central, how they can get to the next level of winning this division next year in 2023. And maybe think about, hey, what we would do if we were the owner or we're the baseball ops guy, maybe firing Kenny, maybe firing Rick Hahn, as Sean has said. Yeah, he doesn't deserve his job. And we know these things are pipe dreams, but these are things that real teams would do. And unfortunately, we were root for a team that is unserious.
It wasn't pipe dreams for the White Sox to sign Kyle Schwarber and Carlos Rodon.
Not at all.
Those contracts weren't too extreme.
And Kyle Schwarber is available. I mean, Carlos Rodon's available this year.
Right, yeah. Carlos Rodon should be available after next year unless the Giants really like what they saw and lock him up, which I wouldn't blame him. I think he leads the MLB in strikeouts right now. And here's the thing. He's still pitching in September, by the way, because Rick Hahn doesn't know shit. Anyways, let's go to Escape from the Madhouse because I appreciate just new faces in here. I see Al. I see Jay Corona. I see Anthony. I see Mr. C. Clark. All these guys and Melissa as well. All these people. Very, very repetitive names, but Escape from the Madhouse kind of going along the lines of like what we would do and stuff like that. He asked, will the Sox sign Aaron Judge and will the Sox sign Trey Turner? So we'll just tell you right now, before the offseason even starts, I would love the White Sox to have Aaron Judge in a uniform.
Yes.
Playing for them, 81 games at guaranteed right field. I would love for the White Sox to have Trey Turner playing second base next to Tim Anderson for 81 games in 2023 at guaranteed right field. What we need to do is deal in reality.
Yes.
What the reality is that Jerry Reinsdorf is the owner. And the reality is of Jerry Reinsdorf-owned teams, whether it be the Bulls or the White Sox, big free agents are not signed. That is just a fact.
Correct.
The best player ever brought here in Chicago history, Michael Jordan, was a draft pick, right? Scottie Pippen, probably the second greatest Chicago player ever, draft pick. There has never been a huge
trade.
Walter Payton.
Then, trade draft pick.
Oh, well, that's true. But he was acquired the day of the draft. Walter Payton acquired in the draft, right? I know that's not even a Reinsdorf-owned team, but like, there's no big free agents. And the White Sox aren't getting that. Nope. Unless they're serious about actually offering Aaron Judge a real money with real a real contract with real money.
And
outside of the bullshit thing that they offered to Machado.
Yeah, and an overpayment.
Right.
Because you have to do that. And Anthony asked the question, and I see a lot of people ask this question about our guard packs and Kenny and Hahn the same thing. No. Kenny has a skin on the wall. Gar does not have any. Neither does Paxton. And neither does Rick Hahn. Kenny is, while people might not like Kenny, he won a championship, and you can say it was other people's players, but as I said the other day, 2005 was mostly players from other teams that he assembled on this White Sox team. Only three of the people on the World Series roster were drafted, cultivated, and on the World Series roster for that team. It was Joe Creedy, Mark Burley, and Aaron Rowan. So Kenny is a champion. Those other three are not champions, so I get what the sentiment is, but I don't feel that they're the same thing. Gar and Pax never did a goddamn thing.
Yeah, no, they never did a thing. I mean, they had D. Rose, another draft pick, but like they were never able to seal the deal. Clark did chime in and say Carlton Fisk was a free agent, which is true, but 5 years for $3.5 million. I mean, that seems Carlton Fisk was making under $1 million a year, which seems real cheap.
Kenny got lucky. I don't understand how Kenny got lucky with a 99-win team in the regular season and 11-1 in the postseason. I get the sentiment that people don't like Kenny. Give him his credit. Come on now.
Well, and here, I mean, and I understand, I mean, Joe's been in this chat a ton, so I don't want to blast Joe too much, but also, like, look at the history of Major League Baseball. Just to win it takes luck. You need to be lucky to win it, whether you're the 2020 Dodgers. Like, the Dodgers, for how great they've been since 2011, have one title. One title, the same amount as Kenny Williams. Andrew Friedman is as good as Kenny Williams if you're just looking at what counts, as in the rings. So as good as the Dodgers are, as great as they are, as big as that Death Star is, Kenny Williams was able to pull off that one magical season. That's all it takes. All Rick Hahn needed to do was put together one magical season in this window with so many talented players, and they were unable to do it. It was just sad. And John L's coming in, best case scenario, they'll sign Colton Wong for second base, right? So that's like the biggest name that you could expect.
That is such a White Sox signing.
Right.
Such a White Sox signing.
Could you scroll up a little bit, Steven? I think there was a couple more that I wanted to go up to. A little bit more than Joe R. Melissa did say Frank Thomas draft as well, so I did want to recognize
four
that.
Four straight drafts in a row of greatness right there by Larry Himes.
And what we're looking for now is maybe the Sox can have a better draft pick. If the White Sox just keep losing, which I think they should, there's nine games left, we'll see where the Sox can be because now there is an MLB draft lottery. Right now the Sox sit, I think, with a 0.48% chance, so I'd say there's it's a 4.8% chance to become the first overall pick. But the Giants are right above them at 74 and 78. So if the Sox can somehow jump San Francisco, and the team that's 14th is Minnesota at 74 and 78 as well. So if they can jump San Francisco and Minnesota, because they got six games left against Minnesota, maybe the Sox can help their chances to get the number one overall draft pick and possibly win this lottery, which literally is the only thing to look forward to for the rest of the year, unless you're really paying attention to Jose Abreu chasing the hit champion.
Yeah. And Gator said no playoffs in 04 or 06. This team has won the playoffs like 11 times, dude. So, yes, they don't have a big-time playoff thing. And if you remember 04, they should have been in the playoffs, but big injuries to some guy named Magly Ordóñez. Frank Thomas was out for an extended period of time. So, yeah, it was a tough. And then 2006, they won 90 games. And Kenny Williams tried to make this team better with the addition of Jim Thome for Aaron Rowan. I mean, these people, man, I don't understand, man. You could hate Ken all you want. Give him credit for the thing that he did and say all the rest were crap. But 2005 was not a luck year. That was a year that he put together. Remember, he traded for Jose Contreras in 2004 when he traded away Esteban Loaiza. Kenny Williams. I mean, these guys, this man just did it. He got Freddy Garcia on this team. That's Kenny Williams. All these things are his doing. He made this happen. Scott Podsednik, Luis Vizcaino. He had Neil Kotz and Cliff Polite on the team on that playoff roster who had career years. I mean, come on now.
Mercy.
Bobby Jenks.
You just start naming all these players, and I just want to start going to a Hakaru impersonation. Let's go into the PointsBet ad because they are very, very important. We got to let you know about PointsBet. When you are watching football this season, PointsBet's bring you a better way to bet live on games, which means before this ad's over, you can place a live same-game parlay bet. You could bet on the next drive to be a touchdown and cash out your live second half over bet. With PointsBet, you have access to more live bets than ever before, and you could build the perfect live same game parlay by combining favorite bets anytime during the game, including spreads, totals, player props, and more. And you can choose the outcome of the next drive and next points with PointsBet's lightning bets. So whether you're on the move or on the couch, do it live on PointsBet. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services. And when you download the PointsBet app today, sign up with code CHGO to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. And if you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you'll receive two risk-free bets of $2,000, a yearly CHGO membership, free access to our CHGO Discord channel, and you'll also get a free shirt of your choice from a CHGO locker, and you could check out our selection of shirts over at chgolocker.com. So if you or somebody who has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services. And our next partner, one of our longtime partners, Athletic Greens, they have a product I use every day, and I've been using it for now over 6 months. I wake up each and every morning and take my Athletic Greens. It's just one scoop of AG1s in a cup of water, and I absorb 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole foods or superfoods, probiotics and adaptogens to help me start my day right. And this special blend of ingredients supports my gut health, my nervous system, my immune system, my energy, my ability to focus, and I mean, look how young I am. I'm actually 46. I mean, look at this. So I look great, and that's because I wake up and I drink AG1s each and every day. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, daily free, or gluten-free. And Athletic Greens has over 7,002 five-star reviews. So right now it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop of cup of water in every day. That's it. No needs for millions of different pills and supplements to look out for your health. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/CHGOSOX. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/CHGOSOX. Take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Again, athleticgreens.com/CHGOSOX. Let's head out to Guaranteed Rate Field and talk to our guy, Vinny Duber. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. Hello, Vinny.
Good afternoon, gents. How are you?
Good afternoon. We're good. The Bears won, so it was a very lively atmosphere here in the CHGO offices, which was fun and welcomed because it was a stinker on the south side. What was the big reaction from the clubhouse in this one? Because this is the first time that they've lost all six games in a homestand since 1989.
That's a while ago. So first time in my life. Interesting. It was a terrible game. It was terrible. They played terrible. And Miguel Cairo knew it. He came in here and said how embarrassing and disappointed he was in the effort level, that it was the worst of what has been a terrible homestand full of terrible games. He said this was the worst one. He said they didn't bring any effort. It didn't. And it's really the first time we've heard that, coming from the managerial podium this season. But certainly I think a lot of people didn't, really see anything different from what they've been looking at most of this season. The disappointment in a nutshell here over the last week. But this was the homestand from hell, no doubt about it, for the White Sox because, maybe not everybody, certainly I, and I think a lot of people out there got a little, put the blinders on a little bit as to how small the playoff chances might have been even going into that Cleveland series, but they had a chance, right? They had a chance to take a chunk out of that Guardians lead, which was only four games. Guys, it's 10 games right now. The Guardians have won the AL Central. The Sox blew this on every level this week, even if it wasn't the story of the season, right? I think it was Gavin Sheets saying on Friday night, Thursday night, whatever day it was, that they didn't botch the season because of just what happened against Cleveland this week. It's about all 162 games that they end up playing that's going to tell that story. And there's been a way more bad days than there have been good days. But man, this week they looked awful.
And Vinny, I know you weren't there yesterday, but it's the first time we get to talk to you since the announcement that Tony La Russa is out for the season and that Luis Robert has been placed in the IL. What was the reaction, either pre or post game, to that news that happened yesterday?
I mean, I think we had gotten to the point where it's not the biggest surprise, right? Obviously, I think if Tony's doctors would have seen a situation in which he could come right back, he would have come right back. And I think that the case is probably when something like this happens, you're probably not being, given the go-ahead to go right back to your high-stress job, with its odd hours and its bad travel schedule and its, junk food and all of that kind of stuff, right away. That comes to mind for me. But I think we had gotten to the point where the absence had been so long, there's so few games left in the season at this point, that looked kind of like it was going to be the likely outcome. Certainly, Luis Robert, we talked about it, I think it was Friday night when, it's just – this had gone on for long enough, and I don't think that bringing up Mark Payton, anybody who was clamoring for that, at any point over the last month to use that roster spot on this AAA outfielder who is not going to see any playing time, so it was okay maybe that Luis Robert was still on the team, but in terms of getting his wrist healthy, just sit him down. I mean, at this point, because he was coming in, taking a few swings and immediately feeling it again. It does sound like there's a pretty good chance that Tim Anderson won't be back this year, that Michael Kopech won't be back before the end of this year. We'll see how it goes. Obviously, those things are not impossibilities, but seems like a pretty good chance at this point. And man, I think, with between TA and Robert being on the IL and off days for Abreu and Aloy ahead of the team's off day tomorrow. I tweeted it out before the game. If I would have told you back in March that on September 25th, the White Sox lineup would be without T.A., Robert, Abreu, and Aloy, you would have thought that last night they clinched the Central Division. and that's not what happened, and they're going to go into this series with Minnesota, which we were talking about not just at the beginning of the year, but as recently as about a month and a half ago as being pretty important down the stretch. They're going to go into that series back double digits in the Central. It's the Guardians who are running away with things this year. Just a very, very crummy season for the White Sox is going to has 9 games left in it.
We both understand losing to the Guardians at home because they might be a superior team, but we feel that the effort wasn't there for the Tigers series. To get swept by the Tigers at home or anywhere is unacceptable to us. Did Miguel Cairo have any words about the loss, the 3-game losses to the damn Detroit Tigers?
Yeah, I mean, he barely alluded to the series as a whole, more so focusing on today's game and how disappointed he was with that. You know, I think I said it already. He used the words embarrassing, terrible, the worst of this whole homestand to describe today. But certainly you can apply it to really every game that's been played since Tuesday night. You know, they looked like a team fighting for their lives on Tuesday night. And once that did not go their way, they have not looked like that since. And we'll see. You know, I mean, I think you've got guys talking about professionalism and playing for each other and stuff like that, but it might just be hard to kind of muster what you need to do in order to win a Major League Baseball game when you know the reality of what is now an extraordinarily disappointing outcome this season for this team. Yeah, I mean, they haven't scored any runs really since Tuesday right. night. I mean, it's been a very poor showing. The pitching has not been terrible every night. You know what I mean? They've gotten some pitching performances that have been just fine, and certainly Dylan Cease today was himself. He looked like he's looked all year, and Miguel Cairo made sure to point out that Dylan was not part of his criticisms, but man, just these last 5 games have been real ugly.
2 runs per game in the last 5 games. They've scored 10 runs over the last 5. Real ugly. I want to go back to something you mentioned, Tim Anderson and Michael Kopech's status, because on Saturday when Jared Willis was out there covering Rick Hahn speaking, he said there's still a chance for Anderson and or Kopech to return before the season's end. Did we get a little bit more clarity, or is that just kind of an assumption just after another loss and with Cleveland officially securing or locking up the division today? Is that just more of an assumption that we likely won't see Anderson and Robert?
I really don't know how much the actual situation of the season has to do with it and how much more just the calendar has to do with it, right? I think we've talked about this with TA a couple times now, and maybe Robert as well. Like, if this was June, you give them the full time you need to give them to get them back to 100%. With the games coming off of the calendar, you're like, oh boy, there's this end point. Can they get back before this day? And maybe the answer is just no. And you know, that if they're not going to be 100%, they're not going to come back. I think maybe that's the case in the middle of the season too. And it's just that we have this bumper here at the end of the schedule that is kind of making us wonder, oh, are they going to, or are they not? Like I said, if this is June, there's no question that they're going to be back, but how many days it takes is the question right now. If how many days it takes is the question, and you've only got 10 days left in the entire season, you know, 9 games, 10 days, then obviously you're not going to push anyone to get back in time to play here at the end.
And I know I don't have that much more of any for you right now, but usually, if I recall correctly, the last road trip of the season, there's something special as far as the people dressing up, rookies dressing up certain uniforms. Is there anything planned for Tuesday's trip out to Minnesota, do you know of?
Not that I know of. Obviously, you know, with the off day tomorrow, they're not leaving directly from the park. Usually when there's any sort of crazy costumes or even just football jerseys like there was the last time, you know, we see the guys putting those on in the clubhouse and can kind of share that with folks. But, you know, they're not leaving until tomorrow night. So maybe they all show up to the plane wearing something silly. I don't know, but certainly not when they were leaving the ballpark today.
I want to just ask you quickly about this Rick Hahn comment, just because, you know, I just want to maybe understand where his mindset might be at with 9 games left. If he's just handling this because there is still 9 games left. But I read this quote to Herb, and this is from Jared Willis. He said, "I don't want to do a post-mortem until the body is fully cold. So we'll wait until the end of the season, and then we'll talk about all the different emotions we've had and what the plan is going forward to put ourselves in a better spot. As for the inevitable question, well, what does that mean for next season? We are going to finish up this season first and then address everything when it's appropriate to turn the page at the end of this year." So I think that word, you know, when it's appropriate, I think is the reason why he probably isn't doing that full post-mortem, as he said. But if Rick Hahn isn't brought back, will he ever get a chance to speak? Because I just wonder if those 9 games finish and Jerry Reinsdorf or the White Sox as a whole make that decision to move on from Rick Hahn, will he ever get the chance to speak to the media again? I don't know if this is a tough question to figure out, or I'm just trying to figure out like timeline of the baseball season too, because there is another homestand that Rick Hahn could possibly speak at before the Twin Series, but I do wonder if maybe this is the last time he speaks to the media.
Well, that is some wild assumptions, I think. I'm just saying this. It's very, very hypothetical, right? I
mean, yes, absolutely.
We've received no indication that that position is going to be changing at all.
Yeah, only and based off the fact that they went 70, they're 75 and 76 right now and didn't win the AL Central when that was the whole talk this year to be competitors and contenders.
Oh, absolutely. That was the expectation. But I'm just saying, you know, we don't know what the situation with Tony La Russa is. We don't know if anyone would be spurred to make any change in the front office. We can have our opinions on that matter. But in terms of actual evidence that that would even be under consideration, we have received none of that yet, other than just sometimes that happens with pro sports teams at the end of a disappointing season. I think right now the idea is that Rick Hahn usually reserves his postseason comments or end of season comments till he has time to, you know what the final results are going to be. The only time that I can think of when he has done those in season, we're back during those rebuilding years where, you know, they were way more than 10 games out of first place by this point in the season, when they were way more than just one game below 500, you know, and when they were, not even thinking about, you know, being a playoff team. Obviously, that was the expectation and far greater this year. I would perhaps expect something that final homestand or that final series of the season that does take place at home. Maybe something does come there. You know, there are obviously some, even if we're not going to be talking about the big grandiose potential for change, there are housekeeping things to take care of, right? What is the deal with Luis Robert's wrist? And what is the deal with some of these guys who have been, you know, hurt throughout the season? You know, if they're going to make changes to the coaching staff, those are usually addressed right away. You'll remember when Rick Renteria was done. That was addressed in the fairly quickly after the season. I think maybe a week or so after that they were eliminated from the postseason by the A's. And obviously there was the change at pitching coach there too, which you know, right away where Rick announced that Don Cooper wouldn't be coming back. So if there's changes to the coaching staff, even that don't include Tony La Russa, you would think that those would be spoken on relatively quickly. That being said, last year, Rick Hahn's end of season press conference did not come until after the World Series. You know, that was given right before the GM meetings. You know, I remember we went to the GM meetings and he said basically, how could you guys have anything else for me? I just talked to you for an hour 3 days ago, which was true. You know, we figured out a way to ask him about an hour's worth of questions anyway. But, you know, the point being that shows you how late in the calendar that came last year. They were a playoff team last year, so that could be different, obviously. You know, they don't have to worry about their season extending past a finite date this time around. So it's going to be very interesting to see when the next comments are made from the GM. Obviously, there are going to be a lot of questions for him. And, you know, I think until we have reason to believe otherwise, he's going to be the guy that's going to be asked about what this team's going to look like in 2023 and what the offseason is going to look like coming up this winter. You know, I at the moment, there's no reason to believe that he wouldn't be that guy, other than, you know, just general sports circumstances and the way those kind of work out. But he's going to have to talk about what went wrong and what they're going to do to make it go right at some point, whether that's going to be before the end of the season, immediately after the end of the season, or a month after the end of the season? We're going to find out.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out timeline for 2023 and figure out the offseason. You mentioned they waited a couple days or a couple weeks to fire Rick Renteria or announce that decision. October 1st was the last game for the Sox in 2020 in that postseason losing to the A's, and then they waited until the 12th to remove him from that position. So, yeah, about 11 days there. And again, you know, whether he is or is not removed, just kind of looking out on when that might happen. Like, should fans be expecting something to be announced on the 6th? Well, it seems like, you know, maybe give them a couple weeks after the season and they'll probably get to some sort of decision there. Do you have something? Oh, okay, you're angling there. I do have one final question then for you, Vinny. With the announcement that Tony La Russa isn't going to be back as the manager next year, do you assume that they will have a...
Not the manager next year, just this...
Oh, sorry, for this year. Since Tony La Russa won't be back as the manager in 2022... you're probably waiting on word from Rick Hahn, but do we think that it's just wait to see what happens with Tony? Do they have an interview process regardless? Or is it just if Tony's not able to come back, Miguel is the guy? How do you view it?
I have no idea. I have no idea what could happen. Obviously, let's put it this way. I like to think about what all the possibilities are, and everything you listed is a possibility, right? I mean, you could have it be Tony La Russa is perfectly fine and is the manager next year. You could have Tony La Russa's doctors say he can't manage baseball next year, and the White Sox need to find a new manager because health issues took theirs away from them. You could have it be that Tony La Russa is okay or is not okay, cleared to play or to manage baseball next year, but the White Sox have decided they want to have a different guy managing the team. And you could have it be Miguel Cairo because of the way that things have gone over the last month here, or you could have them open it up to a brand new search for a brand new manager. All of those things are possibilities. And I think right now that has to be the number one thing going into the offseason. What's going to happen with the manager? Because we can talk every inch of this roster to death. And guys, we're going to have 5-day-a-week podcasts coming up once the season's over. So trust me, we're going to talk every one of these positions to death on the roster. But the point being, I don't think any of them have the, you know, attention that the manager's job is going to get from fans, because what obviously has been fans' biggest complaint all year long, it's been Tony La Russa. Well, I think that there's something on the other side of that. If you get what you've been chanting for and they or Tony's health makes it so Tony cannot be the manager anymore, then what? And you know what I mean? You can go through the list of managerial candidates that pop into your head. And I don't know. I'm sure every single person out there is a different level of excited by every single one of them. Maybe nobody is finding a lot of exciting names out there that are available. So we are not in a situation yet where the White Sox are in a managerial search. Right now they have a manager and it's Tony La Russa. You know, they have a manager for the 2023 season right now and it's Tony La Russa. We'll see if that stays the case over the next 2 weeks, the next month, the next 6 months, who knows? So we'll find out.
Great talking to you, Vinny. You can follow Vinny Duber on Twitter at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer, and you can read all of Vinny's work at allchgo.com.
And perfect segue there, Sean, because got a big one coming up. You know, we talked about it the other day, kind of how hard it is going to be for the White Sox to make that big change on the roster this year, this winter rather. And so I go position by position and kind of look at them being kind of boxed in a lot of different areas. So I think people should check that one out. That's going to go up here in the next few minutes here on allchgo.com.
Very nice. And you can become a member at allchgo.com and make sure you read that. It probably includes Jose Abreu. We talked about whether he will or won't be with the Sox. Yoan Moncada and Grandal, I expect to be a part of there because their contracts are under whatever team control for next year. So definitely check out Vinny's article at allchgo.com if you kind of want to get a little bit of a preview into the 2023 offseason, because the 2022 season is pretty much dead. Thanks, Vinny.
Bye, guys.
All right. Now we got to tell you about our people.
I want to talk about Rusted real quick before you go to the actual read. Rusted, LOL, 10 games back in the worst division in Major League Baseball. Just a fantastic job, Jerry. Never changed. I mean, when he put it like that, it caught me off guard. I knew it was that was the stat, but then, like, they're in the worst division in baseball, and they're getting dogged walked in it, too.
You know what is hilarious? Like, after Tuesday, I think it was, our guy, Lawrence Holmes, was like, I want the White Sox face to be rubbed in it. And that's what we were saying. Like, we've been saying that for a while. He's like, I want them to run the score up on him. It's already 10 games.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they haven't even left Chicago and the score's been run up on them. I mean, it's just pathetic.
Keep on doing it. Make it embarrassing. So it's not like a thing where if we had health, they can't have that press conference. So, man, if we had health, we would have been all good. I want it to be under 500, getting beat by Cleveland by 15 to 20 games. I want it to hurt. Well, it can't be 20 games. It can only be 19. So I want it to hurt. I want it to hurt really badly because it doesn't matter anymore. And definitely I want them to lose to the Padres so the Padres go to the playoffs.
There you go. And I escape from Madhouse saying, more reasonable request, should Colas be starting in the outfield next year? I think if he's not, I think there's issues. I don't want to see Gavin Sheets. Give me Colas.
I would rather just go and get a right fielder that's played in the major leagues already and has success in the major leagues. Yes, he's good.
He's good.
He's good in the minors.
He's 25.
I don't want to roll dice on a person that might not be good in the majors.
What if he might be good on the majors, though? Anyways, let's tell you about something that is good. Damn good. Great, even. Green Ridge Farms. They're a Chicago local meat and cheese company offering you a better all-natural option. They're the makers of all-natural deli meat, sausages, and their famous meat sticks. Meat sticks have saved my life, I think you could say. Every time I am at work and there are meat sticks in the fridge, I am putting meat sticks on a plate and I am heating up meat sticks. You can heat these up on the grill, which I know our guy Jake has done. You could heat them up in the microwave, which is what I usually do because I just want food fast. And they are delicious. They are naturally smoked meat mix sticks for 8 hours. And with 16 grams of protein per stick, they make a perfect post-workout snack. They come in chicken, black forest beef, and flavors like jalapeno cheddar and spicy chili. So if you haven't tried them yet, you don't know what you're missing out on. And right now, when you order any 3 meat products at greenridgefarm.com, and include a pack of meat sticks in your cart, those meat sticks will be free simply by using the code CHGO at checkout. Again, right now when you order any 3 meat products at greenridgefarm.com and include a pack of meat sticks in your cart, those meat sticks will be free simply by using the code CHGO at checkout. Again, greenridgefarm.com, order any 3 meat products, add a pack of meat sticks, you get those free with the code CHGO, and these meat sticks will make your Sunday football watching better. They'll make your baseball watching better. If you're watching tennis, what other sports are going on? Hockey, when that comes around, basketball, all going to be improved by Green Ridge meat sticks. I want to tell you about the Guardians. The Guardians have secured the division, and Sarah Langs on Twitter has said, the Guardians are the youngest team in the MLB right now, weighted by plate appearances and batters faced. And if they remain the youngest at the end of the season, they'll be the eighth team to make the playoffs as MLB's eighth youngest team. The other teams that made it, the 1986 Mets, who won the World Series, the 1970 Reds, the 1950 Phillies, the 1949 Dodgers, the 1947 Dodgers, the 1944 Cardinals, who won the World Series, and the 1943 Cardinals. So what this tells me, Herb, is what the White Sox did, letting the Guardians win this division, is some of the most pathetic ass shit in decades. 1986. We were talking about 1989. Vinny said he wasn't even born.
Yeah.
That's 3 years before the Mets went in the World Series in 86. This hasn't happened since 1986. The same year the Bears won the fucking Super Bowl. Yeah. January 26, 1986 is when they won that Super Bowl. So the same amount of time that it took the Bears to win the Super Bowl, it took the youngest team in Major League Baseball to win a division and get in the playoffs. And the team with the seventh highest payroll let that team win that division at every single turn they got. Pathetic.
Very much pathetic. And it's a 10-game stretch right now. God, I just can't go over that. Just how badly the White Sox are losing this division, this shite division. And they're a young team, Cleveland, but they're a better team than the White Sox right now. And it's just so maddening to know that it's not going to change. We're talking, and I think Melissa wrote in her Sage Bolenbach, about they're going to be using the excuse of injuries. They're going to be saying, oh, blah, 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 we did this, that, and the other. We tried so hard to win this division, but the things didn't roll in our favor. If we get 140 games from Aloy, if we get 140-something games from Luis, we miss Yasmani for a good chunk. Yoan wasn't this and that. a lot of excuses instead of we as a collective failed. There are no excuses for how or why we failed. We failed. We're going to get things fixed. It starts with me. I'm Rick Hahn. I failed. And, no accountability on the White Sox, so he won't be fired. Rick Caney won't fire him, and Jerry definitely won't fire him. And if they do fire him, it's just going to be fucking Chris Getz brought up to the GM spot, so it doesn't matter, really. It's the same garbage-ass team and same people who they pick in the first round and the same development through the minors and the same major league development. And we're gonna champion. I guarantee in that fucking interview, they're going to be like, guys, you see how great Gavin Sheets was? Not great.
He was just
better than he was when he started this year, which was piss poor.
And which that's was only helped by being demoted.
Yeah, that's what they're going to talk about. They're like, well, Gavin Sheets had a good year. Well, this guy had a good year. Dylan Cease, guys, come on now. They're just point out all the stuff that happened that was kind of good. But they're going to be under 500 this year. I guarantee they're going to go up to Minnesota and piss and wet the bed and San Diego and then come back home and have their adoring fans who are packing that ballpark. Yesterday's game, they were there. I know it was a windbreaker giving up, but God damn it. They were there. These guys are still there cheering you on, supporting you, and they'll be there Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And we were talking about the Jose Abreu thing, like maybe that'll be his last home game in a White Sox uniform. I wish people would be there to celebrate Jose Abreu and go to game time so you don't have to put any money into the pocket of Jerry Reinsdorf. Go to Game Time app and get the cheap tickets you'll get on Wednesday and say goodbye to Jose Abreu properly. It's right here in the link description if you're watching right now on YouTube. If you're listening on the podcast, it is also in this description of this podcast. So get your Game Time tickets for that and don't put any money into the pockets of Jerry Reinsdorf, but go and say goodbye to Jose Abreu because you might not see him in a White Sox uniform. A lot of ambiguity there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of ambiguity with Tony La Russa. Same thing with Rick Hahn, like you were asking Vinny. Like this team, just give me answers instead of excuses. Excuses are their fucking number one thing. That's their best export.
And that's the thing with injuries. Like I think someone said that there. I mean, they won 93 games last year and there was injuries everywhere around the park, and we weren't mentioning injuries before that Guardian series, before that 10-7 11 inning loss. We weren't talking about injuries. Was Luis Robert's injury bad? Yes, he slid into second base against the Tigers trying to make a steal. That sucks. The White Sox should have shut him down and they didn't. They failed. Tim Anderson being out, he's been out for 6 weeks. Sometimes you have to deal with that shit. Get over it. For the most part, you had a healthy lineup against Cleveland. You had a healthy lineup in September. You were winning games early in September, and Miguel Cairo was getting all this credit for bringing injury. Mm-hmm. Energy. What the fuck happened in this six-game home stretch? They quit. They gave up.
Yep.
And I love my guy Alec in the chat. I'm literally going to see him tomorrow. I'll give him a big kiss at the Gaslight Anthem concert. But he said they need to sell high on Sheets. OPS of 122 in 2021. 2022, it's 102. He says OPS of 723. Last year was 830. He sucks. He's good for the White Sox because he hits home runs. He has 15 home runs. That's great for the White Sox. Any other major league team wouldn't be playing Gavin Sheets because he can't play the outfield, and he's a below average hitter, or at least an average hitter.
I know what he's saying, but I would too. I don't think Gavin Sheets is going to be better than this. So, yeah, sell high on him. Sell on Eloy.
If you want to sell high on Sheets, you should have sold him this offseason or last offseason.
Sell on a lot of people because this team is not going anywhere. They have a lot of mediocre players that they think are great because they drafted them and they developed them. But no one on this team is like, oh, man, we got to keep him. I mean, I know Steven wants to keep Dylan Cease, and it's not his fault. But you got to make the team better. Dylan Cease, a broke-down car with some great rims, still is a broke-down car. And that's what Dylan Cease is, just some nice, shiny-ass rims on a 82 Cutlass Supreme.
I don't know if he's that bad.
Yes.
You think he's that bad?
No. The car is the White Sox. The car. Dylan Cease is the nice-ass rims.
I got you. So once you steal the rims, it's just the broke-ass car. I got you.
And you can get a different car if you sell those rims. Because the rims are worth more than the car.
There you go.
Sorry, I got ice in my mouth now.
It's all good.
I'm pissed.
Do we have a starting pitcher graphics? I just want to talk about Cease before we end this. Starting pitcher today, Dylan Cease went 6 innings, allowed 0 earned runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, 5 Ks. Tyler Alexander, who is not a Cy Young candidate, with 6 innings, let up 1 earned run, also allowed 4 hits, gave up 2 less walks, 1 walk, and also struck out 5. So the guy with the 78 ERA plus,
Tyler Alexander,
basically had a good game or a better game. And the guy with 187 plus AP, ERA plus. And the guy with 187 ERA plus gave up 0 earned runs. That's because the team didn't try. Yep. We've been doing this show for 40 minutes, right? 50 minutes?
Yeah, it's like, way too much.
I don't need to say that this team didn't show up again. Should I say it again?
Say it again.
They didn't show up. They didn't show up the second game against Cleveland. They didn't show up the third game against Cleveland. They didn't show up on Friday against Detroit. They didn't show up on Saturday when there was 33,000 people there. And they didn't show up today. And they're not going to show up tomorrow, or I guess on Tuesday. They're not going to show up on Wednesday. They're not going to show up on Thursday. This team has quit. And they've quit because the organization stinks.
And they allow them to quit.
Yeah.
And that was like a directive. Only give 75%. And you won't think that's a slippery slope. You tell people to give less than their best. Slippery slope, and that's what's happened.
Let's go to the Cy Young talk here, because Dylan Cease, no earned runs, 6 innings today. Dylan, our guy Cy Cease, versus Justin Verlander, who is the front runner right now. Cease is 14-7, 179 innings pitched, a 2.06 ERA, 1.09 whip, 222 strikeouts, and an ERA plus of 187. That was before today's start. So it should go up. So it should be around like 190, 192 after today's game. Justin Verlander, 17-4, 163 innings pitched, a 182 ERA, a 0.84 whip, 167 strikeouts, and a 212 ERA plus. I don't think Dylan's got it in him, but maybe.
It's going to take, like I said in the pregame, he has to throw a no-hitter or something that is very, very noticeable, because you're going against the San Diego Padres on West Coast time. People are not going to be paying attention to the White Sox, and then the Padres are clinging onto a playoff spot out there, the wild card spot, so no one's going to be really paying attention. But if you get no hit, and you no hit Manny Machado, Juan Soto, and the boys out there, people will take note. And if you come back, and if he happens to pitch the last game of the season, where all the teams are playing at the same time, I think a 3 o'clock start, and you do this versus the Minnesota Twins, which he came one out away from doing that earlier last month, or is it last month or this month? But he almost no-hit them. He does that versus the Minnesota Twins, then people stand up and notice, because it'll be a lasting image right before the voters put in their final vote for Cy Young. Otherwise, it is probably like a 90-10 thing for Dylan Cease, and he's on the other side of that 90.
Well, I mean, even if those stats were equal, even if Dylan Cease had a 2.12 ERA, I mean, even a little bit more innings pitched, same ERA, I think the fact that Justin Verlander's on a 100-win Astro team, and the fact that it's Justin Verlander, I think people are just going to want to vote for him. I think it's a narrative ball here, which I don't blame him.
Oh, the story's great.
And he's got a narrative.
Yeah, as Melissa says, the Verlander story is too good. The voters love those feel-good stories. He's going to win comeback player of the year. He's going to win this Cy Young for the most part, and he's going to go to the playoffs as the number one starter. I think, you know, Framber Valdez might have a shot there, and that's another way the White Sox and Dylan Cease can possibly get the Cy Young if somehow, some way, people start voting for Framber Valdez, take some of those first-place votes away from Justin Verlander, and Dylan Cease gets a bunch of first-place votes from the rest of the crowd, then Dylan can get in there and grab some Cy Young awards and the actual trophy. But I don't see that happening at all. So Verlander's going to the playoffs. Framber Valdez is going to the playoffs. Dylan Cease will be chilling at home like us, playing a little frisbee golf.
Yeah, I think that narrative ball kind of eliminates what happens with Jake Arrieta, where Clayton Kershaw and Zach Greinke were also so good, and both of those got first-place Cy Young votes, and then Arrieta ended up taking it. I think Verlander's probably going to maybe not be unanimous, but I think he's going to be close to unanimous. I think Valdez is going to be second, and I think Cease is going to be third. I did like Daniel Stack saying the White Sox are like Papa Doc in 8 Mile, and just after Eminem finishes, toss him the mic and he just folds, which is true. They did that back in April against Cleveland and they continued to do it for the entire year. We'll be back with you tomorrow live at 10:30 a.m. here on the CHGO Sports YouTube channel. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and notification bell to let you know when we are live.
Goddamn, White Sox are free world.
For the
And we just did get swept by 3-1/3, bitches.
Join us tomorrow. That's Herb Lawrence. You can follow us on Twitter at @ActorMall23. I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. You can follow Vinny Duber on Twitter at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. And make sure you check out his brand new article that should be posted soon at allchgo.com about the outlook for the 2022 or 2023 season. Thank you, everyone, for hanging out with us in the chat. Alec, Gatorbite, Rusted, Melissa, Mr. C, Daniel, Anthony O, all of you great people for hanging out with us today. We will see you tomorrow at 10:30. Go White Sox. Goodbye.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com. We make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.